He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up light in their hands, unless you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him, and let him behold my salvation. Amen. There is no author that's known of Psalm 91. Some think it's a continuation of Moses, since it kind of starts in the same. Some think it's David in the way that it's addressed. We can't say for certain who it is, but the situation, it seems like there's a disease that has spread through Israel. And so there's some kind of plague or some kind of illness that's come through, and that could be the backdrop of this psalm. This Psalm 91 is probably the most important psalm that I've ever experienced in my life. I'll teach a little bit, but I'll tell you a story. I'll share my testimony. I mentioned that I came to China in 1992, and so I was playing basketball, and we had a men's team and we had a women's team from our university. And so we're in China for 2 weeks on this tour, just going all over southern China, Guangzhou, playing teams everywhere. I was a brand new Christian. Remember, I became a Christian in April of that year. And then in May, I came to Hong Kong. So I spent May, June, and July here. The end of May, and then June, July, a little part of August, before I went back and finished my senior year at university. So imagine, I'm literally a brand new Christian, born again in April, and here I am, this is probably mid-June, and I'm in China. And my teammates, obviously, are all very faithful Christians. And one night, one of the guys, I was rooming with two guys, and one night, one of the brothers woke up, and he said, God gave me a verse. And I'd never heard anyone say anything like that before. To be honest, it sounded too religious, right? Like, you know, kind of like, who do you think you are, Moses or something? What do you mean God gave you a verse? Because we would do devotions together, and then in the quiet time, he would share the verse, and I would be like, wow, it's as if God wrote that verse right there on the spot. It was pretty amazing. And so I woke up the next morning, that had such an impact on me. It's like, is our God is a personal God? Like, our God actually speaks to people? It was a very, very new concept for me. And that night, something weird happened. I was sleeping, and we're in this hotel in China. You know, I had my mosquito net was covering my bed, and I just felt something poking me. It was very weird. And so I woke up, and when I woke up, I looked to my side, and I saw my good friend. Some of you guys may remember Angel Ruiz, who came and spoke here many years ago for one of our anniversaries. And so he used to be one of the executives at Young Life. And Angel, he was sweating. He was just sweating. And I was like, hey, what's going on? You know? And he told me that night he had a demonic attack. there is an evil spirit that came into our hotel room and was bothering him. And so he woke up and he couldn't sleep and he called on the name of Jesus. And then, and then he's telling me this story and I'm like, what? Shut up, man. You know, who do you think you are? You think you're Moses or something? And so, you know what ended up happening is he said to me, he goes, yeah, I prayed the name of Jesus. The spirit, you know, left me alone. But the Lord told me to pray for you because now it's going to start tormenting you. And then that's where, like, I felt like something was on top of me and just poking me. And so I told him, I said, shut up, man. I don't believe in this stuff. And so went to sleep. So the morning I woke up and I just thought, okay, something happened last night. I don't know all these spiritual things and I don't understand it. I'm not familiar with it. But I know something happened in our room last night. I can't explain it, but something happened. And so I woke up that morning and I had a Bible. It was actually the Bible my mother gave me. I still use it to this day. It's not this Bible. It's a different one. And I had a Bible and it sounds very immature, but this is almost literally what I said. I said, Lord, you spoke to Greg. That was the other roommate. You spoke to Greg yesterday. He's a knucklehead, right? Surely, if you can speak to him, you can speak to me. That's how immature my prayer was, but that was my real prayer. And I just flipped through the Bible. You did one of those, like, right, God speak to me thing. And you know what happened? Psalm 91 just leapt off the pages of the book. And I read this thing, and it's talking about God's protection. It's talking about, in verse 5, you will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day. Remember, I was feeling something poking me. It was like these arrows. It was this terror. It says, no evil will, or nor will any plague, verse 10, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. Remember, I literally was in a tent with a mosquito net covering my bed. And he says, he will give his angels charge concerning you, that he'd protect you. And then I said to my friends in my room, I said, hey, you know what? You can't believe this, but you know what? God spoke to me this morning. And I read Psalm 91, and my friends were really excited. They were like, wow, this is amazing. God, you know, spoke to Sam, which is, you know, back in those days, that was like cataclysmic. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, there's another part of this story that I used to have a pretty hot temper, especially when I played sports. And almost every game, I would just get really, I'd erupt at the ref, I'd get angry. And I had a lot of issues back in those days. I was trying to prove something. And so I was kind of like the project, right, on this trip. And all of a sudden, God spoke to me. And I was excited, I was happy. And then we went down and had breakfast. And then the day wore on. And I thought, what? God doesn't speak to people. God wouldn't speak to me. I'm not even that good. Like, I need to be a lot more holier for God to do something like that. And I was like, who do I think I am, Moses or something? And so on and so forth that happened. Well, and I just thought, okay, that was a coincidence. God doesn't do that kind of stuff. So I just totally dismissed it. Well, later in the afternoon, we're actually traveling to another city to play a game that night. And one of my friends that was sleeping in another room, he had heard that God had spoken to me. So he got really excited. And he came up to me and says, oh my goodness, I heard God spoke to you. I don't know what happened, And I told him, I said, hey, Steve, you know what? Actually, nothing happened, man. It was just a figment of my imagination. God doesn't do that kind of stuff. And he goes, no, bro. I'm telling you, this is real. This is true. You know why? I said, why? And he goes, last night, the same thing happened in the girls' room. Well, you know, some of the girl players. They said they felt an evil presence come in their room to try to torment them. And one of the girls woke up. Her name was Dana. One of the girls woke up in the morning, and God gave her a verse. He says, you know what verse it was? I was like, no, what is it? He goes, Psalm 91. and I nearly fell out of my chair. And I learned a huge, huge lesson that day. I learned that God speaks to people. God uses the Bible. I mean, the scriptures are there, but he illuminates the scriptures. He brings, it's not just reading, he brings revelation. And I started believing that from that day forward. I also knew, and this is probably the bigger takeaway, I knew that God knew me. I knew God knew me, and God accepted me. God created me, so he knows exactly how I work. He knows exactly how I think. And this is how I think. God, and maybe some of you guys can relate to this, okay? God works beautifully in my life. I doubt it. I dismiss it. I just think, who am I? You know, that's false humility. I just think like, oh, what do I think I am, Moses or something? And these type of things. And so I dismiss the very thing that God did. But you know what? Because God knows me, he knows exactly how I think. He knows exactly how I work. Even in the time where I don't believe him, he brings someone my way to confirm that this is true. And I came away from that experience thinking, oh my God, you know me. You know exactly how I work. You know exactly how I think. You know that, Lord, you're going to do something beautiful in my life, and I'm going to totally not believe it. I'm going to just chalk it up to circumstance or chalk it up to a coincidence or something like that. In other words, I'm going to dishonor what you just did, but yet you know me and you love me so much, you're not going to give up and you're still going to come and bring confirmation to me in my life. That was the beginning of my trip. At the end of my trip, remember, I end up staying, it was a 5-week trip. I mentioned on Sunday, it was a 5-week trip. I end up staying another 5 weeks. And this is what happened. I had a dream. Now, this summer was just a supernatural summer. I never had any dream like this. I had this dream, and I basically went home with the rest of the team to Hong Kong. So from Hong Kong, we went to Hawaii and then back to L.A. And so I went back, and I had this dream, and I dreamt that I went back home. So I went to Hawaii. You know, I've never been to Hawaii, so I was excited about that part. And then we went to went back to L.A., and then I went to my girlfriend's house. I was dating this girl at the time. And they had a big sign at the home that said, "Welcome home, Sam, the missionary." It was great. You know, I saw all my friends. "Hey, you know, how's your trip?" "Oh, it was great." Da, da, da. And I remember leaving that little, you know, party, and I walked outside, and I was walking down the street, and I was looking at the sky, and I was talking to God. And I said, "Lord, I blew it, didn't I?" The Lord said, "Yeah, you blew it." I said, "I was supposed to stay, you know, in Hong Kong for the rest of the summer. But I want to do other things and these things. I totally blew it." And he goes, "Yeah, there was a huge opportunity for you to grow." And then I woke up, and I was in this youth hostel in Yamate. And I woke up, and I was so happy because we had not left Hong Kong yet. And so that morning, I called my girlfriend, called my mom. That was the order back then, right? My priorities were all screwed up, right? Call my girlfriend first, call my mom and tell them I'm going to stay. Changed my ticket, and then it was about 3 days later, our team's going to leave, and I started having doubts again. God doesn't speak to people in dreams. Who do you think I am, Moses or something? And I just have this thing, and then we get to the night before the team left, there was a rooftop party at one of the missionaries' homes in Sha Tin, and it was testimony night. Everyone's sharing their testimony. And so I shared. I said, "You know, so you guys know that I'm staying. I'm thinking about changing my ticket and coming home with you guys. You know, I had this dream, you know, and I dreamt I was at my boyfriend's house. And I walked outside and had this talk with, you know, with God, and I blew it and blah, blah, blah." That same girl that had Psalm 91 in the beginning of our trip, that same girl, her eyes just almost explode. And they're like, "Sam, that's crazy. You know why? And she's also staying. So both of us end up staying for the rest of the summer. She said, I'm also staying. And you know what? You know why I'm staying? Because God gave me a dream. I went home. I went to my boyfriend's house. We had a party. And then I walked outside, and I was walking down the street, and then God was speaking to me. It was the same exact dream. And I was like, whoa, God speaks through dreams. God knows me. He created me. He loves me. He knows me. He knows that God's going to do something really cool in my life, and I'm going to totally dismiss it. So what does God do? God brings people into my life to confirm his work. He really, really does care. That was the beginning of my Christian life. I'd say in April, I was born again. I mean, I belong to Jesus. I'm going to go to heaven. I would say what happened that summer and then subsequently afterwards, I learned to walk in intimacy with Christ. And it was a totally different thing. It reminds me, in Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Think about this. Sometimes faith, miracles, supernatural, these type of things seem to come pretty easy to people. This is my story. These things seem to come very easy to me for my Christian life. I don't really know why, but he tells you why right here. Because over this period, I've learned to dwell. See, there's people that come to the mercy seat, but they only come to visit. When they're in an emergency, when it's difficult, you know, when they're at the end of their resources, they come to that mercy seat, but there's other people that stay there. He says, he who dwells, not visits. It reminds you of David who says, it's better, right? One day in your courts is better than thousands elsewhere. It's the same idea. We don't come to visit. We come to stay. We're here not to visit the Lord. We're here to remain. Isn't that John 15? Jesus says, abide in me, and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So we need to learn to remain. We need to learn to dwell. And it says, and he who, there's that word again, abides. And I love this phrase, in the shadow of the Almighty. You know what that phrase simply means? You have to get close to someone to touch their shadow. It's talking about closeness. It's talking about you come to this place and you draw close. You're abiding in the shadow. You're so close to the Lord. See, that's the difference. Some of us will just visit once in a while. Others will remain. We'll learn the secret of abiding. That's what happens here in this place. It's talking about someone that just wants God more than anything else in their life. He's their everything. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. In other words, my safe place is nowhere else I can run and turn to. That's who he is. And so, I can't read the whole thing because I share too much of my story. But so we'll not be afraid of the terror by night, the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence that stalks in darkness, destruction that lets waste it. Near 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. That doesn't mean that, you know, no plague or no disease is going to come over you. But the reality is when you're with God, these things will not overcome us. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. He will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Now, the devil used that in Matthew 4 to tempt Jesus with recklessness. You know, say, hey, you can do whatever you want, and don't worry, God will protect you. That's not what this passage is saying, right? And so the devil totally twisted scripture in that way. But he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They'll bear you up in your hands lest you strike your foot against a stone. You'll tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion, the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I'll rescue him and honor him. And with long life I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. That phrase, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him, it's a very active. Translations say it will set his heart. What it basically means is that God is really the aggressor. He doesn't wait for you to love him. He just comes and loves you. It's like 1 John that says, we love because he first loved us. And so God takes the initiative of love in our lives. He set his love in our hearts. And so let's close our eyes. Sorry, I did a lot more testimony than teaching today, but that's okay. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you so easily doubt the workings of God in your life. It's okay. God created you. God loves you. God knows you. He's going to do something in your life. He's going to reconfirm. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. I learned a huge lesson that summer. That summer changed my life. Psalm 91 changed my life. I realized he was a personal God, a loving Father, gracious. Maybe because I didn't grow up in church, I didn't have to bring any baggage. I learned that summer who my God is. And it set the course for everything. I want you to know that your God is gracious and compassionate. Your God created you. He loves you. He knows you. He knows exactly how you think. He knows how you work. And he's going to work in your life in a way that you can understand. And my prayer for us this morning is just, Lord, come. Come and do what you do best. Come and love and speak to your people. And as we sing a song, well, let's meditate on the goodness of God.
Shelter of the Lord, who abide in his shadow for life. Say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock in whom I trust, you dwell. Oh, you who dwell in the shelter of the Lord, who abide in his shadow for life. Say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock in whom I trust, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on breath. shine like the sun and hold you in the palm of his hand. The snare of the fowler will never capture you, and famine will bring you no fear. Under his wings your refuge, his faithfulness your shield, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings, to shine like the sun and hold you in the palm of his hand. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you dawn, make you to shine like the sun and hold you in the palm of his hand. You need not fear the terror of the night, nor the flies by day. Though thousands fall about you, near you it shall not come. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun and hold you in the palm of his hand. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun and hold you in the palm of his hand.
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray to a loving, gracious God who created us, who loves us, who knows us. He is able to do much more exceedingly abundantly than we ever ask or imagine. And maybe you're struggling with his love today. Maybe the circumstances of your life don't depict his goodness. Just wait on him. He'll come through for you. He came through for me, so many others. He'll come through for you. Let's pray this morning. go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer, going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgeries. And let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that has COVID. Let's also pray for our frontline medical workers. Pray for strength and just for protection from the Lord. And let's pray for the nurse shortage in Hong Kong as well. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. Let's pray for SPBJ, pray for Pastor Hyunsu, SPSH, pray for Pastor Ricky, pray for their families, their leaders. Let's pray the church would just continue to thrive in the midst of different circumstances. And let's pray for the Chungs and let's just lift up churches all over this country that the gospel will be preached powerfully. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our board. Let's pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation that God would really use our members to lead our church. Let's lift up our fellowship ministries, our young adults, our men's ministry, and our women's ministry. Let's thank the Lord for the completion of the Single Life Workshop. Let's just pray that the members would continue to grow in that area. And let's pray for our men's and women. Let's pray for our hospitality, our welcoming, our baristas, and our logistics. Let's pray that more volunteers would rise up for the welcoming ministry, that as the church gets more full and more activities begin to come, that there will be such a spirit of hospitality amongst this group. Let's pray for women that are pregnant in our community. Let's pray that they would deliver their babies well, that the babies would be protected in the womb, the mom's health would be great, and when it's time for delivery, that it'll be a painless, a very simple, easy procedure. Let's lift up. Let's pray for House Church tonight, Chaiti, Fortress, Gia, King's Court, TST, and Westfield. Let's just pray for our leaders, our hosts, and let's just pray the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit come down and just really touch and minister effectively to our members. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for Psalm 91, Lord. It's a tremendous impact on my life. And God, we pray, Lord, that so many of us here, that we would feel that protection. God, we would dwell, God, in the shelter of the Most High. We wouldn't just come to visit, God, but we would come to remain. Lord, in the same way you didn't come to visit, God, you came to remain with us. So help us to abide, God, in that place. Teach us, Lord. Speak to us, God. We are your children, Lord. The fold of your pasture, God. Thank you. We love you. Watch over us today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.